Thanks for listening to AM 620 KTOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. Now, coming to you live from the banks of the Willamette River, it's Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman.
You've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
Online at 620KTOJ.com and on the air at AM 620KTOJ.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman. You are listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. We've been getting pretty radical here these last couple of hours, talking about the 60s, a truth to power movement, taking big shots at big pictures. But I always like to make the third hour about what's going on locally. And as my listeners know, I'm someone who cares a lot about the state of healthcare and healthcare reform in this country. I am an avid single-payer advocate, but I just don't see that happening here in Oregon, at least not this round. But there is a lot of talk of healthcare reform. And so my two in-studio guests are Christopher and Huma Pierce. They are doctors of chiropractic who have practiced family chiropractic in the Portland metro area since 2001. Christopher is known as the bicycle chiropractor, Huma as, I will say, the political chiropractor, because she's running for office and you better watch out. Don't get in her way. Dr. Huma Pierce currently serves on the Oregon Board of Chiropractic Examiners and Dr. Christopher Pierce on the Rules Committee. Christopher and Huma, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Adam.
Good. Mic working, Huma?
I think so.
Beautiful. Okay. So there's a lot of talk about healthcare reform going on in this state. So why don't you help our listeners understand? First of all, is it real healthcare reform? Is it just health insurance reform? Christopher, why don't you take a crack at it? The bicycle chiropractor. Before we get into that, what is a bicycle chiropractor?
We fix backs on bikes, essentially. Portland's got a great active transportation scene. A lot of love and shout outs to the BTA. But we've got about 20,000 people that come by my office every single day on their bikes, heading from the east side to downtown Portland for work. And we've got to get these people affordable health care. And so I decided to start a clinic focused around cycling and make it posturally based. And people love it.
I bet they do. That sounds like that's so Portland.
It's so Portland.
I mean, it's like something that would be on Portlandia.
Exactly.
I just love it. You know, sometimes we are the cliche, but I like the cliche. That's a great idea. I mean, what a wild thing. All right, Huma?
Yes.
You.
Me. Well, I'm pretty politically active in the Democratic Party of Oregon, in the Washco Dems here. Also, the Multnomah Dems, actually, for quite a while, worked a little bit on the Obama campaign, introduced Earl Blumenauer down at the waterfront. And then this is in 2008, in the golden years of what we would say Obama was.
Yeah, they were.
And then
briefly golden.
Briefly. For
gold,
3 months.
Gold-plated.
Gold-plated. That's right.
Pretty good.
Yeah, but if you shined it up a little bit more, I'm sure we'll find some silver or platinum underneath.
I hope so.
We got to hang in there. I think so, Adam. We got
to
hang in
there. Yeah, I mean, Supreme Court. That's all I have to say. That's the only reason. There's no other reason to vote for him. It's that. But that's another conversation.
That's a whole other show.
So what is the intersection of politics and chiropractic work that you do? How did you find yourself going there?
Well, truthfully, it started with a little bit of a disgruntlement. We as chiropractors have always been the underdog, so to speak, in the healthcare paradigm. Mm-hmm. What we've done is, as chiropractors, we not only adjust you in order to help your nervous system optimize itself towards health, but we take care of you after car accidents. We take care of you after falls and slips and any kind of injury on the job or whatever. But the other side of chiropractic is once you've returned to a certain level of health, we can optimize your health, nervous system, and immune system to the point where you don't need to have any kind of outside intervention. So you can actually heal yourself. Your body heals itself. And for me, where politics intersected here was the fact that every time we decide that we're going to create some sort of either health reform or health care that's going to move towards making the population healthier. Somehow a healthy kid is on a large poster from Legacy. And I just got so angry at the fact that, you know what? When you go to a hospital, you're not going there to be healthy. you're going there because you're sick.
So that's the conversation we want to get into. And in a minute, I think Huma brought up a good point. We're talking to Huma Pierce and Christopher Pierce, local chiropractic and wellness practitioners. And it's this idea that somehow that health care is all about chasing symptoms and not working preventatively. And so there is a health care reform conversation going on in this country. I'm really interested because I don't know that much about it. I haven't been following because if it's not single payer, I don't really pay attention as much as I should. What are the terms of the conversation that we're having about health care reform in this state now, in Oregon?
Well, I think the bullseye that we're missing is that the conversation is about health care reform. It's not about health. Mm. You know, health doesn't come from the shots you put in your arm, doesn't come from having a surgery. Health comes from what you put into your shopping cart. It comes from how you travel to work in the morning, how your kids get to school, what we do with our free time and our play time, and how we take care of ourselves. The doctor is there really to help you when something goes wrong beyond your control and provide education or information that you don't have the training for. And that's where healthcare reform is. It's focused on the latter part, not truly the optimal wellness or the optimal performance of the human body.
So I've heard one of the terms I have heard thrown around is evidence-based solutions. Do I have that right?
Evidence-based care.
Evidence-based outcomes. That's it. And that we're basing a lot of the health care reform decisions that we make on evidence-based outcomes. And as I understand it, there's good aspects. I like evidence, and I like evidence-based outcomes, but it seems to leave out some things. Huma?
Well, the things that I think that evidence-based care may leave out are the intangibles, the how you sleep at night, the not just the drugs that we give you that are supposed to do something to help you. Right. It's the auxiliary things around your life, the how you feel at work, the your workstation. These things are not really taken into account as a whole towards evidence-based healthcare. Chiropractic has come quite a long way from a perceived non-information-based healthcare system to an incredibly well-diverse, researched-based healthcare system.
Right.
And we're so old. We're over 100 years old.
And chiropractic itself is thousands of years old, acupuncture.
The movement of bones is definitely over 2,000 years
right.
old.
So I guess what when I hear terms like evidence-based outcomes and evidence-based care, it seems to me that that's about, again, chasing symptoms. So I come in, I have a symptom, I fix the symptom, there's the evidence. But it seems to leave out this whole notion of wellness. If I don't get sick in the first place, then I don't need any evidence-based outcomes. And that's where this holistic piece comes into play for me. So what if we had people that, and this is where chiropractic seems to be play an important role, this kind of preventative wellness care, that if people were coming sooner and that this was a part of the healthcare reform conversation, we'd have less sick people and be spending less money. Do I have it right?
Yeah, you do. If you come in and you get checked for spinal misalignments that affect your nervous system, which affect your immune system, prior to having symptomatology, you essentially head it off at the pass. You create a level of health in your system that doesn't break down with the regular everyday cold that everyone gets. Like, my child does not get sick as much as other kids in his class.
Because you're working preventatively.
I
mean, it's the cliche, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So my question is wellness care kind of what I would call holistic care as opposed to allopathic care, is that being considered in this whole conversation about health care reform that we're having?
No, I don't see it. In Salem, they're working on... from what I know about what they're working on, the new House bills, trying to get people who are duly eligible for Medicare and Medicaid to do more preventative care. But preventative to them means seeing a primary care physician who's a medical doctor or a nurse practitioner, and incentivizing these medical doctors, nurse practitioners, with 150% of what normal Medicare reimbursement rates are, because these are some of the tougher cases. They don't pay as much to the system, and so these people tend to get left behind when it comes to primary health care.
So is it primarily a financial consideration, and isn't there a financial argument to be made for the preventative care that's provided by naturopaths, acupuncturists, chiropractors? I mean, how would that pencil out?
There's lots of research that's been done to show that by regularly getting chiropractic adjustments in care, which includes things like education, ergonomic improvements, nutritional recommendations, exercise, these things save you money in the long term, well into your senior years, and you feel better too.
Simply just don't get sick in the first place.
Right.
And that seems to me where homeopathic medicine plays a role, but has gotten kind of a bad rap.
It's got a huge bad rap.
And let's face it, it has to be coming from the AMA, right? There's a medical establishment out there that does not want to see you guys getting in there on this establishment pie. So let's talk about what is the relationship between the AMA and the chiropractic and naturopaths. What's that traditionally been?
Well, it's gotten a lot more acceptable in the last so many years. The medical realm, they've created a new field of medicine called physiatry, which essentially does what chiropractors have been doing for so long. And doctors of osteopathy and chiropractors were the exact same in the late 1800s. And it was for about 50-plus years that, on paper, if you looked at what we did, we were exactly the same, down to the philosophy and the technique. And it wasn't until there was a split in the road of practice that they chose to do surgery and we chose to stay naturally healthy.
And then somehow they became legit and
right. Well, they prescribe medicine, so as a result, they're in the machine, right? They're in the pharmaceutical,
big pharma machine
that nobody ever talks about anymore for some reason.
So it's about money.
It's always about
that.
Money.
It is always about money. That really
Follow
makes me
money.
Mad as hell. So what you're saying is that there's a conversation that's not being had about preventative care, where we can actually save money by bringing chiropractors, naturopaths, acupuncturists into the conversation as part of a primary care strategy.
And that's one of the great things about Oregon, Adam, is that primary care physicians It's you can be a medical doctor, you can be a chiropractor, you can be a naturopath in the state. There are multiple different practitioners that can all practice as primary care physicians. Most of these people have their own subsets of their scope of practice that they really like to specialize in. But Oregon's a wonderful place because you can have a small town in the middle of the state that doesn't have a medical doctor, but if you have a naturopath or a chiropractor, they can be the person that your family goes to patch you up, to keep you well. Should you need to get out of town in a hurry?
Our guests are Christopher and Huma Pierce. They are local chiropractors. They're going to stay with us. You guys will stay with us for another segment?
You betcha.
We do have one call on the board, which we will take. Questions for Huma Pierce or Christopher Pierce, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. If you want to join this conversation, have you ever seen a chiropractor? Have you ever seen an acupuncturist? Do you believe that what we're talking about, bringing naturopath into the primary care conversation, is an important thing to do in Oregon? Let's do it first. We'll be right back.
AM620 KPOJ conducts various contests weekdays and weekends at various times and offer various prizes for its listeners. By participating in a KPOJ contest, you are agreeing to be bound by the official contest rules for the contest. No purchase necessary. Participants and winners must be U.S. residents at least 18 years old and may enter only one time unless otherwise stated in the official contest rules. Only one prize per household for the contest within a 30-day period. For complete contest rules, visit the main office of this station during regular business hours.
The entire piece of music was played with only two instruments, a right hand and a left hand. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life with hands-only CPR. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. Hands-only CPR is recommended by the American Heart Association, and it's incredibly easy and effective. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. The power to help save a life is in your hands. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Are you spending a portion of each and every Sunday with AM 620 KTOJ? Rise, shine, and keep hope alive with Jesse Jackson at 5, followed by America's Doctor, Dr. Dina Dale at 8.
I could go on all day and tell you how politics relates to medicine.
Leave your radio on all afternoon to hear Alan Combs at 1, Ed Schultz at 4, and Randy Rhodes at 7.
It's stunning to me.
Revolutions don't take weekends off, and neither do we.
It really does feel like the Civil War is about to start.
This is Portland's only progressive talk station, AM 620. KPOJ. Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. Now on Portland's Progressive Talk, 620 KPOJ.
A feeling deep inside. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America. I'm your host, Adam Klugman, and you are listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station, and thank God for it, and thank God for you guys listening to me on what is the most exquisite day of 2011. It's just insane out there. If you're not living in Portland today, I feel sorry for you, and the rest of the year, you should feel sorry for me, because I just couldn't take it another minute. God, I didn't know if it was my life or the weather. I'm like, I'm going to blow my brains out. Numbers here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. We are talking to Huma Pierce and Christopher Pierce. They're a married couple. They're both chiropractors. Christopher is known as the bike chiropractor, and Huma, I call her the political chiropractor, because maybe if there's time, we'll talk about you running for office, because I know that that's on the agenda. We're talking about wellness care, and we're talking about this idea that the only thing that gets any attention in health care reform conversations is allopathic care, which is straight-up medical care, which is about chasing symptoms. And we're talking about integrating into any health care conversation the idea of preventative wellness care. Okay. And what I really like about these two people is that they are, as far as Portland goes, they're right on the forefront of innovating what's going on in their own industry. We do have a call. We're going to talk a little bit about a co-op that you have a vision for, Christopher, a physician-patient co-op. Is that
patient,
right?
It's called the patient-physician co-op.
All right, hold that thought. We have a call. I always like to put my callers as a high priority. They've been waiting about 6 or 7 minutes. So welcome to Mad as Hell in America. You're with Christopher and Huma Pierce.
Adam?
Yes?
Well, thank you so much for this program.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for listening.
It's Jeff in North Portland. Thank you again. I wanted to tell you that in America, and I believe you understand what I'm talking about, there are four-letter words. There is a four-letter word that Americans chase like no one's business. Let me tell you what that is. That's C-U-R-E. The ultimate cure, by the way, Adam, is death. What?
That's a very good. That's a very good point.
What we need to seek, Adam, and thank you to your guests, these chiropractic experts who know exactly what they're doing. The ultimate four-letter word to pursue is the root of the word health, H-E-A-L. We must heal our people and ourselves. And chiropractic, by the way, is a darn good way to do it. And thank you so much. By the way, I'm Adam. Are you there?
I am.
I'm trying to coin, which involves circulation, by the way. If you coin a term, you must circulate it. If you propagate a term, well, you must feed it. But I'm trying to coin a term called Portlandish, because I believe the pursuit of healing is kind of Portlandish.
Right? I like Portlandish. That's very good. I'm going to start using that. Thanks for the call, because that is right on topic. We're talking about, he's saying that what we do is chase cures. in this country. We don't talk about preventative care. I take it back. Having conversations about what's in our air, what's in our food, what's in our water, because if we did that, then we'd have to take it all the way back to people who are making money from disregarding our water, our air, and the food that we eat. But let's just start with chiropractic. So we're talking, the whole frame of the conversation is wellness care and integrating that into the healthcare reform conversation that we're having here in Oregon. You were talking about this idea of a patient-physician co-op. What's that all about, Chris?
Yeah, the patient-physician cooperative. It's not a new idea. I mean, in the 1800s, you pretty much had a family doctor. It usually wasn't a chiropractor until the late 1890s. And you paid this family doctor a stipend to kind of hold them accountable to your family's health. And when you got sick, you didn't pay them anymore for additional testing or additional treatment.
Wow.
And they took care of you no matter what your state of health was. And so the new concept that was started about five, six years ago was that if you talked about what makes you mad as hell in healthcare, and it's the financial trail, right? It's the big money trail.
Right.
60 to 70% of healthcare expenses are administrative for insurance companies and administrative for hospitals.
Right.
If we could simplify the system, get rid of the big administrative dollars, and we're talking about billions and billions of dollars in the state of Oregon.
We're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars at the national level.
Half of our state's budget goes to healthcare, and it's for 28 major hospitals, and I think 26 of them are nonprofits. But still, we're talking about billions and billions of dollars here. If we need to find a way for people who are also mad as hell because they lost their job, changed jobs, and had to pay for a COBRA insurance,
which is $600 to $700 a month.
It's $1,200. Brutal. $1,200. I pay $600 a month.
Yep.
And that's so just disaster insurance.
We've got to find a way to protect these people to get them back toward health.
Right.
And make it affordable. Insurance rates in Oregon went up about 40-45% in the last 4 years. So what we've done with the co-op is that we have a nonprofit that directly negotiates on patients' behalf and acts as a patient's advocate. And we have physicians who are willing to work directly with these patients in the co-op and offer Medicare or better rates for people of all ages, no matter what their pre-existing conditions are, no matter how much money they make or they don't make, or whether they have a job or not.
I mean, they would pay a rate that's commensurate with what is going to Medicaid, and then Medicare rate, and then all of their health would be covered? They wouldn't charge them more?
It's capitated, and it goes up to a certain benefit amount. And it's pretty simple. So for Medicare,
I'm bad at math, so okay, make it really simple
so
for me.
You've got $1 in Medicare dollars,
right,
and you've got health insurance dollars on the other side. That's about 3 to 4 times as much. So if the co-op provided about $25,000 worth of care,
right,
in real-world dollars, real-world insurance billing dollars, that's about $25,000 would be about $75,000 or $100,000 worth of care.
I see.
Okay, so what we can do is we can provide true wellness, education-based health care. You get to choose which type of primary care physician that you think is best for you, if it's a medical doctor, nurse practitioner, naturopathic physician, chiropractic physician, for you and your family. And we make it affordable. These are rates to join the co-op is about $10 a month. That includes a discount drug card, discounted eye exams, discounted dental. And above that, it's about another $20, $30, $40, $50, depending on where you are in your life. It's younger for children, a little bit more expensive for adults, and a little bit more expensive for seniors. But we're talking about like $20 to $60 a month, I think, was the low and high end for this.
What a phenomenal idea that is. See, I have nothing at that end. I only have catastrophic health insurance. Yeah. So if somebody, God forbid, was hurt badly, for hundreds of thousands of dollars, I'm covered. Stay for one more segment. We'll stay through. I want to have a chance to wrap up, but I want to talk about Huma's political career for a minute, and I want to explore this idea of this patient-physician co-op. This is really, really interesting. And in Oregon, this is the place where we can do stuff like this. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America. I am with Huma Pierce and Christopher Pierce, and we are talking about comprehensive health care reform in Oregon. If we're not going to get single payer, at least we can start thinking right and get out of the madness of chasing symptoms. This is AM 620 KPOJ. I'm Adam Klugman, and we'll be right back.
Isn't it? This is Mad as Hell in America, Portland's progressive talk. 620 KPOJ.
and the world walks in between. Surround above on the wings of love. See and let yourself be seen.
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. A little Robin Trower, a little bit of sympathy that seems appropriate to the conversation we're having about healthcare reform. This is AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station. We are talking with Huma and Christopher Pierce. They are local chiropractors who are very involved with trying to truly reform the healthcare system. We've given up on single payer for right now, but we're trying to have a responsible conversation about healthcare in this state that includes wellness, that includes homeopathic, that includes a preventative mindset as opposed to just chasing cures and facilitating existing financial systems that are broken. So on that subject, off air, we were talking a little bit about SB 360. Tell us.
3650.
3650. Sorry about that. Told you I wasn't good at math.
House bill.
HB 3650 here in Oregon. Tell me about it. What is the scope? I mean, I know it's deadlocked, right? So it's stalled, it's dead. But before we get to that, tell me what was in it. What was it about?
I believe that was the one that was going to provide incentives for primary care physicians who are medical doctors and nurse practitioners to give them 150% of Medicare reimbursement rates for patients who are dually eligible for Medicare and Medicaid.
Dually.
So you basically have to be
either old and broke.
Not just old and broke, but you could also be disabled.
Oh.
Have no money as well. But these are the people who need the care most, and they
sure have
the least means in many cases to find the care that they need. And it, on its face, it looked like a great thing. It looked like it sort of was the groundwork for a lot of the accountable care organizations and the coordinated care organizations that were coming to the state. But it sort of lost its traction.
So why was it so narrowly focused? I mean, to cater to the most needy?
Cater to the most needy. I think it's easier just to get something in and something approved. But you'd have to ask the people who drew up the bill.
Okay. So where is Kitzhaber on this, on healthcare reform? What is he saying versus what is he doing? Huma?
That's a great question. I think that he's letting everything. I mean, unfortunately, the 30-30 house is where everything has just fallen to the floor. It's a situation where 3650 itself was brought. You know, it was co-sponsored by a Republican co-sponsor and a Democratic co-sponsor, came to the floor, ended up in rules, and will never make it out of there. It's super sad that politics is ruling the day, and everyday people that are dually eligible for Medicare or Medicaid are being left behind. And I think that the governor is just, his hands are tied right now. It has to go through this process because, you know, I truly believe that the process is wonderful. It's, you must have actual discourse to see the left and the right side of things. Otherwise, you don't find your way. And I think that, unfortunately, Kitzhaber's, his hands are tied. I mean,
sure,
he did so well with the Archimedes movement, with We Can Do Better.
Yeah.
And now he's brought a lot of that to the forefront in terms of healthcare reform for us here in Oregon. And so CCOs, or
what is a CCO?
A CCO is a coordinated care organization,
which is used to be managed care organizations. Are they not?
I think it's a little bit different than managed care. I think that they're trying to move away from a hospital setting, and they're trying to create medical homes,
which
is a home is something, or, you know, your home is something where you belong to a bunch of docs, basically, and they're responsible for helping you navigate through your health care. What's different about what Christopher and I are interested in with the ACOs and with the patient-physician co-op is that we're partners with the patient. And there's a very big difference between being in a co-op, as we are very well versed here in Portland and Beaverton, versus being in a situation where your doctor tells you what to do and you really just don't have any say.
So let's go back to the patient-physician co-op, because I think this is just an extraordinary idea. You were saying that what you're going to be able to do is bring all kinds of physicians together. That's going to include dental. It's going to include chiropractics, MDs, acupuncturists, all kind of functioning under one roof. And a person would pay a monthly fee for that?
They function under a virtual roof.
Right. Clinics. Yeah, not actual bricks and mortar anymore.
What it is, you have a choice. You look at there are a la carte options where you join the co-op for about $10 a month. And that gives you a discount prescription card, as I had mentioned before. It gives you dental and vision discounts as well. And then you're part of the co-op. And then we can act as an advocate for you should you have outstanding bills that we need to help you with, perhaps.
Right.
Or if you need to find the right kind of practitioner for you. And then you'd look at which types of practitioners are best suited for your healthcare needs.
That would be participants in,
exactly, participants in
the co-op.
There are only two types of people in the co-op, Adam. There are patient members and there are doctor members. And as doctor members, we also need healthcare as well at times.
Sure.
And so we'd also be part of the co-op. So we're helping to make these decisions together. But you would choose the doctor and the location that fits you best and, you know, build a relationship there. And there tends to be it's not unlimited care. This isn't like the definitions of insurance. And two things really set this apart from insurance and managed care. One, it's affordable, and it eliminates the administrative costs of those type of care. And
right.
And number two,
well, there would be some administrative costs.
Very minimal administrative costs.
Well, the key here, Adam, is that the EMR or the electronic medical records are in house. So I would have, if you went to go get a CT scan or an X-ray of something going on in your neck, the minute it happens, it'll pop up as a little blip on my screen saying, "Adam had this happen." And Adam is having this going on right now. And so then I can, it's a speaking venue with other docs.
It's like virtual grand rounds.
Yeah, virtual grand rounds.
You can communicate with other physicians who have worked on your case in the past.
And they would all get a notification that Adam just had a CAT scan and go, "Oh, what's going on there?"
What's that about? And then we get to weigh in. I, as your chiropractor, can weigh in and say, "Well, you know, I think it's posturally related. Oh. And if we did this versus just shooting him in the neck with a cortisone shot, I think that we can reduce it without any kind of medical intervention."
This
like
is just a sensational idea. Where are you guys with this idea? Where are we at with this?
We've got about 20 to 30 doctors that have been coming to our meetings. We're still finishing
in the recruitment stage.
Yeah, the recruitment stage for the doctors. People can sign up right now. We have some doctors ready to go. We've got some patients ready to go. We've got the nonprofit approved with the state, and people can find us online when they go to patientphysiciancoop.windguestcom.org.
Patientphysiciancoop.com or org.
I believe so. Uh-huh. I Googled it today just before the show, and it was pretty easy to find. And I think the Portland-specific website was ppcpdxcoop.com.
And you said this isn't a new idea. Where else has this been done? Where is it working?
There's currently a PPC in Hickory, North Carolina, that Dr. Sam Bowen, who's a medical doctor, runs an urgent care clinic. It's open 7 days a week there.
24 hours.
12 or 14 hours, something like that. Hmm. There's also one down in Houston that started as a linked independent physicians association that has hundreds of doctors, and you can go anywhere around for the services for the PPC.
Now, if we had a reasonable legislature, which, of course, we don't, where we have a deadlock legislature along partisan lines, is this something that you could expect a reasonable legislature to support? I mean, wouldn't this ease the burden on the healthcare system that the state has to carry?
But even legislation takes money, Adam. And so what this does is, since this is a direct agreement between a patient member and a physician member, health insurance companies, Salem, Washington, they don't get in the way of this.
That's
Nothing's
better.
Going to slow us down. Exactly. It's very efficient.
That's great.
Yeah, it's simply about people and their doctors.
So we leave the state out of it, and we just empower ourselves and start doing it between doctors to doctors, patients to physicians. Right. This is a phenomenal idea. You guys are outrageous. All right. Huma, we're talking to Huma Pierce and Christopher Pierce. They're a married couple. They're both chiropractors here in Oregon. And innovators. Really interesting. I didn't know about this patient-physician co-op. So, Huma, I do know that you are involved politically. Huma appeared in a commercial I made called We the People. She's actually, and so did Chris, she's the woman near the very end who says, "Speak."
imagine that.
Imagine that. I thought that was kind of good. So tell me a little bit. You have political aspirations. Tell me a little bit about again, why? And how does that intersect with your work as a chiropractor?
Well, like most people in Oregon, I'd say that everybody was pretty well enamored and excited to be a part of Barack Obama's candidacy. And I was one of those people. I mean, I've always been a liberal. I'm originally from Toronto, Canada. I was born in London, England, but I grew up in Toronto, Canada. And I've always been just mildly politically involved. You know, if there was ever something like we needed to protest something that was going to be incredibly important towards maybe stopping the war or something of that nature, then that was something that I would totally be involved with. But I started to get really interested in politics in Oregon because I saw that, you know, there was a huge quiet dichotomy between the rich and the poor here. There was this quiet, not out in your face distinction between listening to what's good for people and what's good for just business. And so I had the opportunity over the last 10 years to have a small business, which has been pretty successful, and then getting politically involved with values that were in line with my own thought processes and feelings, it just started to snowball. And I became a state delegate. And then I was, again, like I was saying, I was at the waterfront. And then now I'm on the legislative committee for the Oregon Chiropractic Association, as well as a gubernatorial appointment to the Oregon Board of Chiropractic Examiners. I chose to become a part of the Oregon Board of Chiropractic Examiners to learn how to govern. And I got a lot more than I thought I was going to get out of that experience.
And now you're thinking of running for a particular seat, are you not?
Well, I hope so. I mean, there's you know, redistricting is a big deal. Redistricting will
determine a lot.
I mean, there's a lot of people out in limbo, myself included. But given the opportunity, I would absolutely run for office in order to just try to level the playing field between those two entities that I just talked about.
Our guests have been Christopher Pierce and Huma Pierce. You guys are doing some amazing work in healthcare reform. I think this patient-physician co-op is just brilliant, and I want to have you guys back on the show. So just call anytime. Let me know if anything is up. We loved having you here. Will you come back on the show?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you guys very much. We really appreciate it. I love doing local stuff. I love having people in studio. It changes the whole tenor of the conversation that I'm having. we're going to wrap up. We're going to go back to the theme that we started, which is how do we get a truth to power movement? And certainly it fits to what we're talking about here is the power in the medical industry is all with the AMA. It's all with the allopathic style and not really with anything else, because quite frankly, it doesn't make as much money, and it certainly doesn't make as much money for the AMA. So I want your calls in the last segment, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620 are the numbers. Let's talk about it. Let's have a final word on what we are going to do to revive a truth to power movement in this country like we had in the 60s. The alternative is terrifying. The alternative is that we stop being a society of individuals. We stop being a society of empowered beings. And we just surrender our will and stick our faces in our technology and just give over to the state in the worst kind of ways. Numbers here, 503-248-0620, 1-866-452-0620. When we come back, I'm going to play a clip from what you all know is my favorite movie. It is a very little played clip from the Movie Network, and you're going to want to stay around for it. You're listening to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman on AM 620 KPOJ. We will be right back.
Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman, now on Portland's Progressive Talk, 620 KPOJ.
Say you want a revolution, well, you know, we
Welcome back to Mad as Hell in America with Adam Klugman. You're listening to AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's one and only progressive talk station, and thank God for it. I love doing this show. I love you guys out there. Love my listeners. Such smart comments. I just love having this conversation with you each and every Saturday. I do want to give people a heads up. I will not be here next week. I'm actually going to something called a talkers convention in New York. I guess where people who talk on the radio for a living or who want to talk on the radio for a living get together and what? Talk. So that should be a trip. We'll see what's going on there. I want to get to a little played network clip. We're short on time, so I just want to set it up. I can just draw a straight line. It's as if to me he's talking about what happened in the 1960s and what happens if we don't stand up and start a new truth to power movement. Let's play it.
The people spoke. The people won. It was a radiant eruption of democracy. But I think that was it, fellas. That sort of thing is not likely to happen again. Because at the bottom of all our terrified souls, we know that democracy is a dying giant, a sick, sick, dying, decaying political concept writhing in its final pain. I don't mean that the United States is finished as a world power. The United States is the richest, the most powerful, the most advanced country in the world, light years ahead of any other country. And I don't mean the communists are going to take over the world, because the communists are deader than we are. What is finished is the idea that this great country is dedicated to the freedom and flourishing of every individual in it. It's the individual that's finished.
Not yet.
It's the single, solitary human being that's finished. It's every single one of you out there that's finished. Because this is no longer a nation of independent individuals. It's a nation of some 200-odd million transistorized, deodorized, whiter than white, steel-belted bodies, totally unnecessary as human beings, and as replaceable as piston rods. Well, the time has come to say, is dehumanization such a bad word? Because good or bad, that's what is so. The whole world is becoming humanoid, creatures that look human but aren't. The whole world, not just us, we're just the most advanced country, so we're getting there first. The whole world's people are becoming mass-produced, programmed, numbered, insensate things.
It was a perfectly admissible argument that Howard Beale advanced in the days that followed. It was, however, also a very depressing one.
Well, there it is. I did not mean to depress you with that clip, but I think that what he outlines is the alternative, that when we stop taking powerful, potent, dangerous individual stands, then we cease to be a nation of individuals, and this is a nation that no longer serves to function the flourishing of each individual in it. We are running short on time, but I want to go to Jeff, line two. You have an idea on how to get the movement started? Hey, Jeff, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What's up?
You've got Ryan, actually.
Oh, Ryan, I'm sorry. Read the
no
wrong
problem.
One. Ryan, welcome to Mad as Hell in America. What's up?
What I had to say was, one of the things that I've been in discussions with some people about lately is that with a lot of movements and a lot of causes lately, it's really easy to get taken in by things. And then there's a lot of people who want to be active and don't really know how.
Right.
You started off the show talking about the 60s. And one of the things that I was born in 73, so academically looking back, one of the things you can glean from the 60s is that the 60s didn't happen in the 60s. It was movements from the 40s and the 50s that culminated then that were these developing movements of how to get their word out.
So how do we get a movement from there to here? How can the 60s and 70s breed a new movement here in the 2010s?
Well, I think the question that you ask is probably a good place to start. How to get the movement started? That question of how. If there were a group together that was think tanking on how to get effective techniques together, you know, like the schools that a lot of the freedom riders would educate themselves through, learning the technique, then the individual can put the cause behind it. But it's the how-to that we need.
Yeah, you're right. That's what I'm looking for. Ryan, thanks for the call. You know, I think, you know what you should do? Go knock on your neighbor's door and see if they feel the way you do. Just start it simply like a conversation. I got 1 minute left. Jeff, welcome to Mattis Hell in America. That's my 1 minute music. Before we go out, make a quick comment.
Okay, Adam, I just want to say, you know, the absolute servitude and unwillingness of Americans to challenge our moneyed royalty and the monopolies they control would have our founding fathers turning over in their graves. We got to wake up. Thank you.
I agree. Let's wake up. Let's get this movement started. Let's not become a nation of people who are no longer individuals. Let's not become a Howard Beale humanoid. Let's go talk to our neighbors and see what it's going to take to get this movement started. Thanks for listening to Mad as Hell in America. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
No hell below us. Above us, only sky.